John, tell us a little bit about Sheriff Tom Kuka, if you would.
Sheriff Tom Kuka is a very rare breed of man. He's a sheriff up in Pend'Oreille County, Montana. Pend'Oreille County covers about 33,300 square miles. It's known as the Golden Triangle area because there's a whole bunch of wheat, barleys, and grasses there that give us this beautiful golden hue. You've got the Rocky Mountain Western Front around the edge of it, and it's just some of the most scenic, beautiful country in America. In that area, he got a call from a childhood friend of his that had informed him that there was a cattle mutilation on his ranch. And he responded to the scene, and I'm going to let him pick up that story. But the thing here is that we went there together. We looked at the evidence, obtained samples and stuff. The entire mutilation case is being documented for a DVD. And Sheriff Kuka is really reaching out to the public at this time and, you know, trying to let you know that there is a sense of concern amongst the law enforcement officials that we finally get to the bottom of this. He represents many law enforcement officials that wouldn't have the courage to come out to the public and actually start letting them know right from the front lines exactly what's going on.
Very good. Sheriff, welcome to the program. How are you, sir?
Good. Thank you very much.
Good. Are you the same sheriff that brought in Linda Moulton Howe for help in an investigation? Because she was just talking about a case up in your neck of the woods.
Yes, we did. What happened? We called her for some information, and it just kind of progressed into the fact that she came here.
Well, she is. She's the best. So I'm glad you had her out there as well, and I'm glad, John, that you've brought the sheriff with us. Sheriff, tell us a little bit about this episode here that that occurred in your county.
Okay, well, sheriff, we can tell this is about the 21st one, say in the last 6, 7 years, somewhere in there. They're all so relatively close to the same thing. There always seems to be part of the face, one side or the other, usually the left side that's cut off, and I mean with exact precision. There isn't any muscle or meat left on that bone. That jawbone is clean right down to the bone. There's usually no udder left that has been cut out without damaging any tissues underneath it. And the rectal area, of course, is cored out also.
And that you have seen no evidence of footprints or some means or way that somebody or somebody's got into this pasture and area to take these animals?
No, we have not. And that's the part that I guess frustrating to us is we would like to have some kind of evidence and some place to go to, but we just keep coming up against the same thing.
You've seen a lot of crime scenes before.
Oh,
you're able to pinpoint much information about various crimes. In this particular case, are you baffled?
To a certain extent, yes. I would, you know, getting to talk to people like John sure helps out, makes us realize, you know, we're not alone in this situation. There's a lot of other people out there that are going through the same thing. And hopefully, with the public getting involved with it, maybe we can get some more information out there, somebody that actually sees something or knows what's going on and find something positive out.
This was the case, Sheriff, where the animal was dropped and left an indentation in the ground, if memory serves me?
Yes. I guess, there was some indents in the ground there. We had two different spots where there was indentations in the ground, but they weren't like anything, footprints or anything.
No.
They were very symmetrical marks. And there's also a impression mark in the stubble where you could see what appeared to be that cow that hit and then came to rest about 7 feet north of that impression mark.
Any idea how high up a cow would have to be to make that kind of an impression if it were dropped?
No, I don't have a clue. And I'm not sure what force it would take to lift that. This is probably, you know, a 1,200, 1,300-pound animal. I know it's going to take some force to get it up in the air, but once it comes down, it's going to be moving right along, that's for sure.
Sheriff Kuka, were there any eyewitnesses to this? Did anyone see strange lights, a craft in the air, anything like that, or some predator running from the scene?
No, there wasn't anything quite like that. First of all, this one was a little bit different in some of the other cases we worked or similar cases to this, in the fact that these cattle were moved in there one afternoon, and the next morning, the neighbor saw this cow laying there dead. However, they didn't notify the Petersons that this animal was dead. So it took another day and a half before they located it, which was somewhat unfortunate. It would have been nice for us to get there right away. But there just wasn't time for anything such as predators, or at least the small predators it would have taken, you know, to do the damage to this cow. As you might know, with us bringing forward all this information, we've gotten a lot of calls. And there's a lot of people that want to offer different opinions as to what happened. But I just don't believe there was small rodents that were eating these or making these incisions in this animal. I just can't believe that they didn't have time to get it done.
A lot of my friends. Go ahead, John.
If I may interject here, I spoke this evening with Bob Hames, who is a former city councilman in the area. Bob was the gentleman, the rancher neighbor of the Petersons, that actually helped me sever the head off and contain it for examination and ice and get it frozen as soon as possible. He told me this evening that even after the head was excised and that bare meat was laid fresh open for anybody or anything to see, 3 days later he went back to the scene, and even though there's a free steak sitting there, bloody red almost, not one predator bit into it at all.
That's correct.
If you can imagine that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a free meal sitting there, just juicy, waiting to be bitten into, and they say no.
They didn't want any part of it, did they?
No part of it.
Now, the night that we did respond to this, there was a coyote within a quarter of a mile of this carcass, and he didn't come into it either. And he was seen there the next day within a quarter of a mile and still wouldn't go over to it.
He probably said, Sheriff, I'm as close as I'm going to get. I've got a lot of friends in law enforcement in St. Louis and in Los Angeles. A lot of the times they will tell me that they work on gut instinct on certain cases. What does your gut, Sheriff, tell you about this thing?
You know, we're working with some kind of technology here that nobody else has seen around this area, probably maybe nowhere. To be able to go in there, remove this one animal, and it has to be taken someplace and processed, the work that was being done to it, and then brought back and not being detected. It tells me that we're talking to somebody that, you know, not your average Joe Blow criminal. This individual definitely has this planned. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he has some fantastic equipment to get it done.